Thank you for welcoming me into your home, Mrs. Martone. And this is a beautiful atmosphere to commemorate the loving memory of your daughter. And thank you for inviting me, the Amen group. It's an honor to be here this morning. Happy Hanukkah and Chodesh Tov. As Hanukkah is the festival of light, I have chosen to discuss with you the theme of light that is predominant in our tefillot. In order to discuss with you the profound message of this theme, particularly within the brachot before Kriyat Shema, and we will connect it to Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh as well. As I have provided to you in the first source, the bracha after Yishtabach of Yotzer Or, Yotzer HaMe'orot, which serves as the prologue to reciting Shema, begins and concludes with the motif of the creations of light and the luminaries. Their creation is framed within the context of Hashem's goodness, tuvo, His rachamim, His mercy, His chesed, His kindness, that He bestows continually on the world, renewing and rejuvenating its existence daily. Moreover, their resplendence, their luminous presence is a testimony to Hashem's wisdom, kulam bechokhma, asita, with which Hashem brought the world into being. At the same time, another light seems to be introduced in the later part of this bracha, immediately prior to its conclusion in the last line of the first source. O chadash al Sion ta'ir, v'nizkeh kulanu mehera le'oro. A new light is noted, one that will shine forth on Sion in the future, and we pray to merit this light speedily, so we may bask in its radiance and benefit from its presence. But this additional light does not seem to cohere with the overarching subject of this blessing, which appears to focus predominantly on the original acts of Hashem's creations, of light, all on the first day, of the luminaries, the me'orot, on the fourth day of the creation. The concluding blessing for this segment of the blessings before Kriyat Shema stipulates Yotzer HaMe'orot, which seems to underscore the physical light that sustains our world today and not the light of the future messianic period. And the Gemara notes that the chatima of a bracha, the conclusion of a bracha, tzricha liot me'en apticha, has to be very similar in subject to the opening bracha. In which case the question arises among the mefarshim on the sidur, and among, we will see, halachists, with regard to the coherence of this statement about a new light in Sion, in relation with the emphasis on the lights created by Hashem in the original 6 days of creation. The congruence between all of these diverse lights, noted in the context of the Yotzer Or Bracha, must also take into consideration other actions of Hashem that are accentuated in this text. Hashem's laudatory creations of light are presented in the context of praise that is lavished on Hashem for His additional attributes of being a master of Bnei Yisrael, strength, our rock, our stronghold, shield, protector, our savior, Malkeinu, Adonu Zeinu, Tzur Misgabenu, Magen Yishenu, Misgav Ba'adenu, Goalenu. Hashem is singled out for making new occurrences happen, Oseh Chadashot. He is revealed as a lord of wars, Ba'al Milchamot, who alone performs mighty deeds, Ki hu livado, ho'er gvurot. He causes Yeshua to bloom, Matzmiach Yeshuot. He brings forth healing and recovery. Borei Refuot, and the restoration of the very life of Am Yisrael. Centered within this setting of praise is the chorus of angels that extols Hashem with purity and fear, citing the noted text from Yeshayahu and from Yechezkel, Nevi'im who warned of imminent destruction and exile because of Am Yisrael's sins, and in the case of Yechezkel, suffered in Galut together with their brethren. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot Meloch Chol Haaretz Kevodo, Baruch Kevod Hashem Mimekomo. Capturing the essence of Hashem's relationship with His created universe, Hashem is described here as at once being transcendent, separate. He is Kadosh. But at the same time, His glory is manifestly present within the land. Melochol ha'aretz kevodo. But when B'nai Yisrael sin, and there is no Beit HaMikdash, Rachmana Litzlan, Yechezkel tells us that Hashem's glory, His blessedness, is evident mimekomo, from His place up in Shammai. Within this prayer before Shema, B'nai Yisrael implore Hashem to reveal this glory from His place and bring about the Geula, which will enable the whole world to feel His open presence among them. How should we take all of these manifold ideas that are expressed in the Bracha of Yotzer Ol and integrate them into a cohesive understanding of this tefillah? How does the Bracha of Yotzer Ol, Yotzer HaMe'orot, correlate Hashem's past creations of light, His continuous sustainment and renewal of the world on a daily basis, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh B'reishit, with the confident hope that we will bask in the Ol Chadash, the new light of redemption in the future. And of course, in what we need to ask the question, in what way does this bracha prepare us for reciting Shema, where we accept all Malchut Shamayim and we acknowledge Hashem as our God, our only God. What I found very interesting in my research is that in order to decipher the unifying thematic thread among all of these ideas in this particular tefillah, our noted halachic sages like Rabbi Eliezer of Worms, who was in the 12th, 13th century author of the Sefer HaRokeach, the Balaturim, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, the Rosh, Rabbi Asher ben Yechiel, and others, maintain that in order to truly understand the profundity of this bracha about lights, we need to focus on the mystery of the creation of light at the very beginning of time, based on the Midrashei Agadah, the Midrashim, that talk about the creation process in the beginning of Sefer Bereshit. As you all know, as we see in source number 2, on the very first day of creation, Hashem created all. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ol, Vayehi Ol. Hashem saw that the light was good. Vayar Elokim Et Ol Ki Tov. He separated between the Ol and the Choshech, and that is the end of day 1. But then there seems to be an apparent redundancy in the whole creation process of the 6 days, because on the 4th day of creation, there is yet another creation of light. Yehi vayomer Elokim in pasuk yudalet, yehi me'orot v'rkiya shamayim. Let there be luminaries in the rakia, in the firmament of the heavens. And they are going to be ruling vayom uvalayla, and separate once again between Ol and Choshech, light and darkness. Hashem saw that that was good, and it's day 4, Yom Revi'i. Rashi is quite perplexed by this repetition of the creation of light within a limited creation process of 6 days. But he presents us with two very divergent, apparently divergent opinions in order to understand the whole purpose of these creations. In Pasuk Dalet, when he talks about the creation of Ol on day 1, he understands that this is a profound mystery, and he says we need an Agadah, we need a Midrash to help us understand. ראהו שאינו כדאי להשתמש בו רשעים והבדילו לצדיקים לעתיד לבוא. According to this view, Hashem saw that the light was too good from day one, v'yar lokim et ha'ol kitov, and so he separated out this light for the righteous in the future. In actuality, Rashi is quoting you from the source in the Gemara in Masechet Chagigah. I gave you the English translation in source number 3. This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, which I underlined, that this was a very special light. This light of the first day. This light was so special, so unusual. It did not seem to have physical, natural properties, because if one did exist at that time, the light would have enabled you to see from one end of the world to the other. Hashem looked into the future, and he saw that this light was too extraordinary to sustain a world that would eventually become mundane and corrupt by the immoral actions of its human inhabitants, particularly exemplified by the Dor HaMabul, the flood, and the Dor HaFlagah, the generation of the dispersion of Migdal Bavel. And so he arose and he hid it from them for the tzaddikim for the future. But according to a different view, as you see in the second to last line of source 3, also quoted by Rashi in his commentary on day 4 of the Me'orot, a whole separate view of the Chachamim indicates that no, the light that was created on day 1 and the light of day 4 are essentially identical. They are the same light. The only difference is that the light was created on day 1. Once the rakia, this vault which separated between the upper and lower waters, was demarcated on day 2, then on day 4, the light was suspended in the heavens, in the rakia. As the text very clearly says, and later Parshanim on the Gemara indicate, it does not say on day 4, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Me'orot Vayehi Me'orot, like it says on day 1, let there be light, and there was light, Yehi Ol Vayehi Ol. All it says on day 4 is Yehi Me'orot Birkiya Shamayim, let there be luminaries in the rakia of the heavens. The implication for this collective group of Chachamim is that the Me'orot, the light itself, already was created on the very first day. But rather, why do you need day 4? To suspend them in the rakia of the Shamayim. The question is asked with regard to the first light, if we are going to apply the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that the first light in fact was hidden, and that it is distinct and should be differentiated from the separate light-bearing entities of the luminaries created on the fourth day, meaning that's following the first opinion that we discussed, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So the question is asked by our Agadic sages, what is the source of this special first light that was ultimately hidden for the tzaddikim le'atid lavo? One beautiful midrashic source, which is quite appropriate to today because it relies on a pasuk at the very beginning of Bochi Nafshi, which we say on Rosh Chodesh. In source number 4, asking the question, Mehechan Nivrat Ha'ora, from where was this light created? The Chachamim answer, Nit'atef ba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kasalma, V'hiv'ik Ziv Hadaro, Misof HaOlam V'ad Sofo. Hashem, as if kivyachol, wrapped himself as in a robe, Ote'ol Kasalma, and he radiated with the luster of his majesty the whole world from one end to the other. So that according to this first opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and it is also followed through by other Tanaim, like Rabbeinu Yaakov, who was the teacher of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, in this Midrash, in this Gemara source as well, this first light was not made of a physical matter. It was not of a physical property. It didn't abide by the laws of nature. But rather, it was a light that was completely spiritual, completely emanating directly from its divine source, and that's why it could shine on the world simultaneously from one end to the other. But Hashem decided that this light was only fit for a time when the world would be devoid of sin and corruption. According to the opinion, however, of the Chachamim, there is no essential qualitative or quantitative difference between the lights of the first and the fourth days. The main difference is their final placement and position. So based on these two approaches to Maaseh Breshit, we can understand the importance of the Tfilah before Kriyat Shema, and how it integrates the creation of light luminaries with the hope for redemption and salvation. According to Rabbi Elazar's reading, the first divine light, which was hidden from us until the future, that is the light that is anticipated in the Bracha of Yotzer Or. Adopting this Midrashic view of the relationship between the two lights of creation, that today we only have a very physical light shining on us from the luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars, we can understand the pointed relevance of the reference in this tefillah to an Ol Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, to a new light that we will be revealed in Zion, in Tzion, in the Messianic times. We are praying to Hashem that He should reveal this brightness, this unbelievable resplendence, to illuminate the world with this beautiful spiritual light which has been hidden for the righteous in the future. According, however, to the opinion of the Chachamim, one would have to say that if it was the same light from day one, which was suspended in the Me'orot of day four, then why are we davening about an Ol Chadash Ad Tzion Ta'ir? According to their opinion, we would have to say that a completely new light will be manifested in the future. The physical light of creation will be replaced by a previously unknown, unprecedented new light, and that occurrence will signal the Messianic period, which will not only be a final climactic stage in our history, but it will represent a newness, as if recreating the world anew, because we will be at the pinnacle at that time in our relationship with Hashem. But I would like to approach this whole perspective on the different opinions regarding the relationship between the light of day one, Ol, and the lights of day four, the Me'orot, from a slightly different perspective. And for that, I'd like to rely on the commentary in source 5 of the Maharal of Prague, who wrote a commentary on Rashi's interpretations. The Maharal is very perplexed when he reads Rashi on the whole story of creation, because he says, "Ein nireh, it does not seem plausible to me. Klal, shichtov Rashi de'ot chalukot befarashachat." That Rashi would cite two very divergent opinions on the same topic. Now we know many times Rashi does cull from different midrashim, and he does cite many different ideas, but not on the exact same topic. In fact, apparently, these two opinions are irreconcilable. Either it's two different lights, the first light was hidden and there's a new light, a physical light that shines on us today, or it's the same light. They can't both be merged into one single idea. So the Maharal says, in that case, Rashi has confounded us. He's perplexed us as readers of his commentary. Why didn't he choose one opinion over the other, so that we had only one approach in order to analyze these difficult texts? So therefore, the Maharal says there's a genius to Rashi's analysis. If we dig deeper, says the Maharal on the second line, muchach behedya, שרשי סבירה לידה לדברי הכל האור הראשון נגנז, ואין בזה מחלוקת כלל אפילו לדברי חכמים. I gave you a summary of his opinion in the English translation. According to the Maharal, and this is typical of the Maharal's overarching methodological approach when studying machloket, in actuality, when you study machloket, what you really should focus on is that they really agree for the most part. The important thing is always to find, as he says, the nekudat ha-machloket, that one point where they disagree. Because in all other aspects, they usually agree. So according to the Maharal, he maintains that there is a basic agreement between all the opinions, that of Rabbi Elazar, that of the Chachamim, that the first light which was created on the first day was hidden for the tzaddikim for a future time. According, however, to the first opinion, Rabbi Elazar, the entire light was hidden. And the light that we have in the Me'orot today is a different, very physical light. But according to the opinion of the Chachamim, and I want to develop this reading of the Maharal, of the opinion of the Chachamim, most of this first light was hidden, but some of the original light remained, and it was confined within the Me'orot that shine on us today. How much? Quoting other Midrashic sources, the Maharal says 1/7 of the light shines on us today. It's also based on other texts in Yeshayahu that we're not going to get into here. The Maharal's interpretation of the Chachamim's opinion reveals the integral relevance of the idea of an Ol Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir in the context of a bracha that praises Hashem for His creations in Maaseh Bereshit in a world that we live in today. The light in this world that radiates from the luminaries, according to this reconciliation of the opinion of the Chachamim, is virtually the same extraordinary light that will shine on us in the future. But Yeshayahu emphasizes, and we will focus on this text also later on, Yeshayahu emphasizes in Perek Samech, it's the Haftarah, one of the Haftarot of Nechamah, of Kitavot, that it is only going to be when during the time of Mashiach, Amech Kulam Tzadikim, when we are all Tzadikim. That is when this light will shine on us, when? In what way? In all of its brilliance. So let me recap again. The light in this world which radiates from the luminaries, from the Me'orot, is virtually the same extraordinary light that will shine on the Tzadikim in the future. So therefore, the opening bracha, Yotzer Ol, the concluding bracha, Yotzer Me'orot, relate to the same idea. It's the same light. But the light of this world, according to the Maharal's explanation, is a very weak light. But, nevertheless, we're provided with a taste of the brilliant radiance that will eventually pervade the world in the future. The relationship between our world and messianic times is therefore established, because there is a diluted presence of this original creation, of this beautiful spiritual divine light, as if Hashem had wrapped himself kivyachol in the garment that radiated out in the world. We have the diluted presence of this light in our lives today. Which means from this perspective, even the natural, apparently physical light that shines on us, through the mediation of the luminaries, has a spiritual, supernatural component that's continually present. In the future, the light of this world will be renewed. That first light will be revealed in all of its radiance. As Rav Kuttner explains in his essay on Hanukkah, and I've given you my translation, he emphasizes, this light of ours, which is the light of the sun in source 6, has a direct correlation in some manner with that first light, which is now in relationship to us considered hidden. If these two lights belong to two separate categories, it would not be possible to bless them both simultaneously with the bracha of Yotzer Ol. Because it is obvious our blessing of Yotzer Ol is particularly stated at the time of the appearance of the light of our day. Similarly, this is also established by the opinion opinion of the Shibole Leket, which was written by Rav Tzidkiyahu ben Avraham Harofe in the 13th century, in his halachic work Inyan Tfilah. As I translate, surely we do not bless about the future light, but in this bracha before Kriyat Shema, we are blessing about the light we see now, currently. Indeed, Hashem has promised to renew this light, but also to add to it. And this light that you intend to renew in the future, to add to it continually, this is the light that we hope to merit. But the Abarbanel, in source number 8, has an unbelievable chiddush. He maintains that this hidden light, when we read that midrash initially, that Hashem hid it, latzadikim, latid, lavo, for the righteous in the future, we seem to think that this hidden light, except that maybe that diluted light that we have today, is only reserved for a very far distant future. But the Abarbanel says no. In actuality, this beautiful divine light is brought forth and shines upon select individuals at certain periods throughout Jewish history. According to the Abarbanel, he emphasizes where I underlined. Let's start from the beginning. Hashem created an all pashut v'tahol. He created a beautiful light that is not made of a physical matter. It's so pure. And he used that light until it was hidden so that the Me'orot on day 4 could take over. But now what does the Abarbanel beautifully say? Ve'az nechtam v'nignaz oto ol kedei lishtamesh bo. HaBaruch Hu b'itot hatzorech lo'avav u'lishomrei mitzvotav kefi ma shetigzor chochmato. Hashem would bring out this first light in times of need for those who love Him and observe His commandments according to what His wisdom determines. And in fact, we have a beautiful illustrative example to support Abarbanel's premise, which we can relate to the beginning of Sefer Shmot, which we are going to be reading in Parashat HaShavua in a couple of weeks. If you look at sources 9 and 10, we'll actually start with source 10. At the very beginning of Sefer Shmot, we read, Ve'ele Shmot b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of those individuals, the 70 individuals, even though all 70 are not re-enumerated at the beginning of Sefer Shmot, who came down to Egypt. After Yosef calls everyone to come to Egypt, because only in Egypt will he be able to help them sustain themselves from the dire famine that has spread throughout the world. Rashi is very perplexed, because first of all, the beginning of Sefer Shmot starts with Ve'ele, and these. We have another correlating text at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, but there it reads Ele HaDvarim. These are the words, not Ve'ele. That extra vav seems to indicate there is a connection between the end of Sefer Breishit and the beginning of Sefer Shmot. Well, if you go back to Sefer Breishit, to this week's parasha, Parashat Vayigash, you will see that all 70 names are listed who went down to Mitzrayim. In that context, the exact same pasuk is noted, Eile Shmot B'nei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim. And now it's repeated again at the beginning of Sefer Shmot, albeit in a concise form, only enumerating the tribes. So Rashi asks in source 10, אף על פי שמנען בחייהן בשמותן, חזר ומנען בניתתן להודיע חיבתן, שנמשלו לכוכבים. Rashi indicates that this repetition is not merely a literary repetition to help make you establish the thematic connection between Sefer Breshit, Sefer Shmuel. He says no. Lefi HaMidrash that he quotes, this repetition is because it's a whole new divine counting. It has intrinsic significance. The repetition is because Hashem counted us initially when we went down to Mitzrayim, and now Hashem counts us once again to display His profound love for Am Yisrael. And in counting them by number and by name, He expresses our double affection for us as individuals and as members of a collective nation. But in order to elaborate on this message, you noted that the Midrash compares this event of counting Am Yisrael to the counting of the stars, which are enumerated in a similar fashion when they're brought out in the evening and brought in at dawn. The implication of this analogy is that while the beginning of Sefer Shmuel seems to paint a very bleak picture concerning the destiny of Yaakov's family, because we will be entering into the darkness of exile, the Midrash says we are like the stars. The light is only hidden from view, but eventually it will shine once again, and maybe even more so, because sometimes light shines brightest against the background of darkness, with the fulfillment ultimately of Hashem's promise of Yitziat Mitzrayim and creating Am Yisrael and Matan Torah. So the question that the Midrashim ask is, how will the light of Am Yisrael be discovered in the darkness of Galut? Says Rashi in source number 9, this will be achieved through the able guidance of a leader, a Moshiach who personifies light itself, Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu is born, we read, Vatar Aisha Vatelet Ben Vatere Oto Ki Tovu. When Yocheved gave birth to Moshe, she saw that he was good, and she hid him for 3 months. All the Mefarshim ask the question, generally all mothers consider their infants to be good. Why, Dafka, do you have to emphasize that because she saw that he was Tov, that's why she decided to hide him for 3 months? Rashi quotes you a Midrash. Ki Tovu, in source 9, Kishenolad nitmale abayit kulo ora, that when he was born, the house was filled with light. If you study the Midrashic sources on Rashi's analysis, you find out that in actuality he is comparing the word tov to the tov that is the calling card of the creation process, and the very first time the word tov is used is with regard to what? The very first light that was hidden. So then really what this Midrash is profoundly teaching you is that the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to penetrate the thick darkness that envelops the world because of Am Yisrael, because they are now mired in exile, slavery, and persecution, because he is kulo ora. He is all light. Says the implications of this Midrash, what light? He radiates the spirituality of the divine light that was hidden. This is the time of need which Abarbanel is referring to when Hashem brings out, as if from his treasure chest, that beautiful light that he is storing in order to enable Moshe Rabbeinu to carry out his holy mission to redeem us. In fact, it's very interesting, based on this, in source number 11, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that one of the first mitzvot with which we are commanded on the threshold of redemption is Rosh Chodesh, is Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new month. But once again, Rashi has a very interesting midrash that he cites for us on this text of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem at the beginning of Parashat Bo. Moshe Rabbeinu is perplexed as to how to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. As the Midrash teaches you, he didn't understand Nitkashem Moshe Amolad Levana Be'ezes Shi'ur Tera'eh V'tiyeh Ru'uya LiKadesh. He was perplexed as to how much of the new moon has to be visible before it is proper to consecrate it as a new moon. And Hashem pointed Kivyachol with his finger, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this way, I'm pointing to it, so you know the sliver of moon, of the light of the moon that you can see to Mekadesh the Chodesh. Of course, the problem was, additionally, that Hashem only spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the daytime. Therefore, Hashem had to only point to the new moon, Samuch lachashecha, close to darkness at sunset. What is the profound message of this midrash? As one of my rabbanim once taught me, Moshe Rabbeinu is kulo ora. He radiates that hidden, divine, supernatural, spiritual light which Hashem brings out, which he had hidden during after the first few days of creation. That's why he sees Hashem in the daytime, Baspaklaria Mira, through a clear vision. Moshe therefore perceived that he did not, or was perplexed. Why are we sanctifying only a tiny sliver of light? Let's consecrate when the world is fully lit up. And Hashem says to him, because at this moment in our history, in the beginning of Parashat Bo, we are only on the cusp of redemption. Just on the threshold. We have been mired in the Tum'ah of Egypt for so long. We've been immersed in the darkness of exile and persecution. Our light at this point in history is only a small light. It's a new beginning, which appears against the darkness of exile and persecution, but it's just a beginning. It's going to take time for Bnei Yisrael to develop their potential to become Hashem's chosen nation. They are going to have to continue to mature into a people who will be unified, united, and ready to accept the Torah at Har Sinai. They're going to have to perform the Korban Pesach. They're going to have to witness Kiryat Yam Suf. And only then will they say, Vayaminu Bashem uveMoshe Avdo. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we are dafka going to be sanctifying the small light that pierces the darkness. Because the potential to develop that small initiative is very important, as long as it is used properly to become the bright light. Hashem says, make the first step, make the first move. Then I will help you and I will bring forth all of my light. But you have to make that first move. You have to show the initiative. You have to show the potential. And of course, this is a cycle, right, with the moon, a cycle of potential actualization. But that's what makes us human. Hashem didn't create angels. Angels don't have the bechira chofshit, freedom of will, freedom of choice. We do. That's what makes us special. That's what some of the medieval mefarshim philosophers teach us, is really what it means to be created b'tzelem Elohim, in the image of God, b'dmut Elohim. Rambam, Sforno, they emphasize what makes us so, what is this divine gift? It's the capacity not only to think, but to choose. That's a divine quality as well. The only difference is we don't always make the right choices. But we need to always work at it. It's the effort. Lefum tzara agra, says Pirkei Avot. The reward is worthwhile because it comes with great effort, and that's when it's more appreciated. In fact, as we see in source number 12, the Abarbanel teaches us that eventually we do merit that Hashem brings out this full burst of resplendent divine light, the Or HaGanuz, because what do we read at Ma'amad Har Sinai, the Har Sinai Ashan Kulom Mipnei asher yarad alav Hashem ba'esh. Says the Abarbanel, what does it mean that Hashem came down on Har Sinai in the image of fire? That's the light of that first hidden light. That is the light that was above Har Sinai, Mareh Kivod Hashem, Ke'esh Ochelet Berosh Ahar Leinei Bnei Yisrael. And, says the Abarbanel, that is the light that eventually radiated from Moshe Rabbeinu, Karan Ol Panav, Ayin Aleph, Karan Ol Panav, when he descended from Har Sinai with the Luchot. What is therefore quite fascinating is that the opinion of Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech Shapira in his work B'nai Yisachar, or those who, some pronounce it as B'nai Yisachar, he was a late 18th century, early 19th century Chassid from Dinov, Poland. The Chassid Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech Shapira in his beautiful essays on Hanukkah says, He'arat ha-mitzvah ner Chanukah, source 13. Hi-hu me-he'arat or ganuz. U-mimele tavin kevan shebinei ha-nes bizman ha-chashmonaim. Daleka menorah be-or shelo keteva rak benes. According to Rav Shapira, it is this, how the miracle of Nerot Chanukah, how is it that the light was able to burn for 8 nights? It is because the light that burned in the menorah is not a natural light, it's not teva, it's an ol hanes, it's a miraculous light. It is the light from the very first day that Hashem brought out in full force from His treasure chest, kivyachol, in order to shine on us during this time. Why? Because when the Chashmonaim faced down Antiochus' religious persecution, Hashem said, you have made that first step. You have showed potential. You have shown desire to face down the darkness of persecution. And amazingly, in source 14, the Midrash tells us that when it says at the beginning of the creation story that initially Choshech al Penei Tahom, there was darkness all over the world, the Midrash allegorically associates with this with the darkness of the Greeks. Because they wanted to tell us to ride on the horn of an ox, you have no portion in Elokei Yisrael and the God of Israel. When the Chashmonaim demonstrated their potential to dissipate the darkness of Yavan, of the Greeks, to fight against Antiochus' religious persecutions, of course, with lots of military effort as well. When they showed their Mesirut Nefesh against all odds, then Hashem reciprocated and He brought forth the miraculous light for Nes Chanukah. So that the Rabbi Elimelech, Tzvi Elimelech Shapira tells us in source 13, why is this holiday dafka called Chanukah? He says it's from the word chinuch. It's an education. We are getting a taste, even more so than just the light, the diluted light that shines on us today, every day through the Me'orot, according to the Maharal's reading of the Chachamim's opinion. But even more so, on this holiday of Chanukah, we are getting an even greater understanding of what will be in the time of Mashiach, when the whole world will be suffused with the beautiful divine light of Hashem. And so, the B'nai Yisachar says, it's hergel al le'atid ha'geula ha'atida, she'az yitgale lanu ha'or ha'ganuz bishleimut. It's a way of habituating us to get used to the fact that we are not living in a world that's so cut off from everything wonderful. Dafka, it's a world of promise. It's a world of potential. And it is reminded to us so clearly, so concretely with the miraculous light that burned in the menorah for 8 nights. In this particular context, Rav Shapira quotes you the text which I said I would return to from Yeshayahu Perek Samach, and that I quoted you in source 15. And certainly you can understand how this relates to the Ol Chadash Atzion Ta'ir, that new light that we pray for in Messianic times in the Tefillah before Kriyat Shema. What does Yeshayahu beautifully say? He says, Kumi Ori, rise up, your light has dawned. Why? Ki va orech, your light has happened. Why? Ki uchvod Hashem alayich zarach. Because what light is going to shine on us in the time of Mashiach? It's the light of the presence of Hashem. The choshech yechase aretz, everybody else, all the nations of the world will be covered in darkness. But Hashem's glorious divine light will shine on us. At that time in the future, listen to what Yeshayahu is saying to us. Lo yelach od haShemesh veOr Yomam uLenoga haYareach lo yair lach. The natural forces, the natural way of doing things, the sun, the moon, they will not shine on us any longer. VeHaya lach Hashem leOr Olam. What a beautiful image! Hashem will be our everlasting light in the time of Mashiach, v'shalemu yemei avlech, and there will be no more days of mourning. In the next pasuk, which I should have quoted you, that's where Yeshayahu says, it's only going to be a time when amech kulam tzadikim, when we are all tzadikim. In fact, this is exactly what we say in our tefillah. Because if you go to source 16, we need to ask a question in relationship to this analysis. How can we as Jews today help to activate the manifestation of this beautiful hidden light in full force and bring about the arrival of the resplendent Messianic times? The answer is already presented in the final bracha before Kriyat Shema. In Ahava Rabbah, in source 16, as I underlined, we read, V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha, v'dabek libenu b'mitzvotecha, enlighten, from the word all, our eyes with your Torah. The luminary par excellence is the light of Torah and mitzvot. I should have quoted you the text from Mishlei Perek Vav. We all know it. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, the mitzvah is a candle, the Torah is light. Certainly you can also appreciate the play on words. Torah comes from the shoresh hora'ah, a teaching. Just reverse the resh and the aleph, hora'ah, he'ara. The teaching of the Torah is an illumination in and of itself. The concept that the light of the Torah supersedes the light of the universe. And based on the Maharal's reading of Chachamim, it brings forth not more than this just diluted presence among us, it brings forth more and more of the full force of this beautiful supernatural aspect of the world, because Hashem didn't want the world to just be physical. He wanted the world to be created so that we take what we live down here, and we raise ourselves up so our eyes are up to where? Up to Shamayim, not down to Aretz. This concept is also portrayed very beautifully by David HaMelech in Tehillim chapter 19 and source 17. In that context, after describing the silent praise that the very existence and continued presence of Shamayim, and particularly the sun, testify to Hashem's genius of creation, we read the following. Hashamayim misaprim kivod ke'el umasei adav magid harakia. The only thing is with these witnesses of Shamayim, especially the sun, Ein Omer ve'Ein Dvarim b'li nishma kolam, these are silent witnesses. You don't hear them. It's their very presence, their very existence that testify to the greatness of Hashem. But after a number of psukim where it sounds like David HaMelech is recapping the whole creation, what is in our world, he switches gears and says, famously, Torah tashem tmima meshivat nafesh, that the Torah is a restorer and a renewer of life, and it's edut Hashem ne'mana machimat peti. So Rabbeinu B'chaye ben Asher in source 18 in his writings asks the question, What is the relationship between the two parts of this mizmor? First talking about nature, and then talking about the greatness of the Torah. And he maintains that this is a contrastive juxtaposition. That really, as he teaches you, od yesh ol gadol yoter me'ashemesh, vehu ha-Torah. There is a light that is greater than the sun. It is the Torah. Interestingly, in the development of his analysis, he focuses on the fact that when you stay in the sun too long, it's damaging and you lose consciousness, but the Torah is eternally nourishing the soul, Meshivat Nafesh. The sun is only shining in the day. The Torah shines continuously, and he has other very interesting analogies. And therefore he says, Or ha-Torah v'mitzvah gadol me'od me'or ha-me'orot ha-elyonot. The light of the Torah supersedes all the lights of nature, and ein le'adam tachbula she'inatzel mimachshakei ha-dvarim ha-tivim she'im tachat ha-shemesh zulati b'kiyum ha-Torah v'mitzvot she'im al ha-shemesh. There is only recourse, the only recourse a person has to be saved from the darkness of natural occurrences is to fulfill the Torah and mitzvot that is higher than the sun. This correlation between the lights of creation and the lights of Torah is associated midrashically, as source 19 teaches you that in the very first description of day one, the name, the term light is noted 5 times. You can go back to the original source too and count. And that parallels Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the 5 books of the Torah. As Rashi fittingly teaches us at the opening of Sefer Bereshit, quoted to you by heart, Bereshit, he reads according to the Midrash, is a compound word. Bishvil Reshit Nivra HaOlam. The world was created for the sake of the beginning. And Lefi HaMidrash, this is figuratively understood to refer to Torah and to the Am Yisrael who perform the mitzvot. Because, as the Midrash teaches us, Histakel b'Torah uvara et ha'olam. Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. Chas v'shalom, Hashem does not need partners in order to create the world. What is the deep message of this Midrash? The world only exists on the pillar and foundation of Kiyum HaTorah v'Mitzvot. Because that is the reason for which Hashem created the world. By illuminating the world with the light of Torah and Mitzvot, Am Yisrael can dissipate the darkness of exile and bring about the redemption. We are in Rosh Chodesh Teveit. We are unfortunately mourning still the destruction of the Batei HaMikdash. We need to figure out how to hasten the Geulah, which will radiate the world with the rejuvenated manifestation of this brilliant divine light from the beginning of creation. Through the continual performance of Torah Mitzvot, the glow of Torah will spiritually enlighten and brighten our physical world, actualizing the purpose for which it was truly created. It's this old Chadash that will bring forth a new splendor to everyone, to all of us, in the time of Mashiach. And we already see that through the Nes of Chanukah. Thank you.